As usual, people, when they come to the end of the year, they like to quote this verse, you know, in Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, which I believe is very appropriate, if not wrong. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, you know, when Joshua wanting to bring the people to cross over the land, to the promised land, they always, you know, some churches, they call it a crossover meeting. They are crossing over to the new year, right? So they use that analogy, and in verse 5 of Joshua chapter 3, I read to you, and Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you," which we all believe, which we all want that to happen. Amen. It doesn't have to be a prophetic verse. It is something that all of us want. We want God to do wonders in our midst next year. Right? Here it says, tomorrow God will do wonders. Tomorrow is next year. Right, Sister Charlie, said, everything will come to pass next year, which is tomorrow. Right? So it's a nice day to say all your prayer. God grant all my wishes next year, which is tomorrow. Joshua said to his people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I'm not going to share a prophetic word or whatever, not today, maybe on Friday, but what we can learn from this verse is, you see, there is an element of preparation. Even in what God wants to do, God wants to do wonders among you. So what? God can do independently of us, right? We will always think God is a sovereign God. Okay, God will do wonders next year. God has great plans for everyone next year. So what, we will think. But Joshua had a specific instruction for everyone. There is a part you and I can play in the great plan of God, which includes preparation on our part. Right? Joshua said, sanctify yourselves. I cannot just, okay, God will do something. If God is God, if it is God's will, happen? No. I have a part to play. I can sanctify myself. I can prepare myself for God to do what He wants to do in our lives. Amen. You see, that's just a simple word, but it shows us a very central and important message. There is a part for us to play. We want next year for God to do wonders. Amen. But let's also play our part. But this evening, I'm not going to emphasize on that. I just want to do a quick reflection on a psalm. Okay, Psalms chapter 90. Reflecting on the Psalms is just like we meditate on a few verses and see how God speaks to us. Because at the end of every year, the last day of the year, is a good time for us to reflect. We reflect the whole of the past year, the good, the bad, the up and the down, the blessings, how God connected us, how God brought business or blessings to us. And in Psalms chapter 90, I think last month, November 26th or somewhere around that, we look at Psalms chapter 90, verse 12. We look at the verse, it says, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Do you remember that? Huh? Everybody, we all always look at numbering our days as in calculating, right? Teach us to number our days. And then last month, we look at actually the Hebrew word for number is mano, which speaks of appointing, preparing our day, right? If you forget, you can go back to the website, the archive, and listen to it. Can you remember? We look at how do we prepare, how do we appoint our days. Our days are not shaped by our past. Our days should be shaped by our destiny. Amen. Okay, so today we are going to look at the flip side of the coin. We look at something deep last month, because not the usual numbering of our days, but today we will look at the literal meaning. Right? Many people thought Psalms are all written by David or other sons of Korah, Psalmist, right? Psalms 90 was written by Moses. So if you do your maths in your mind right now, this is the oldest Psalm in all the 100 over Psalms in the Bible. Correct or not? Who comes first? Moses or David? The chicken or the egg? Sure? Some people can get confused. No? Some people, they think Christianity is just 2,000 years ago. Last time I was a pastor or something. So, our religion is just 2,000 years ago. No, 2,000 years ago, Jesus came. Actually, it all started in the beginning, God created Adam and Eve. It's the same. Don't get confused. But 2,000 years ago, Jesus came. So Psalm 90 verse 12, So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Today, all of us will end up being very wise. Okay? Because God, we are asking God to number, teach us to count our days so that we may have a heart of wisdom. Wisdom is important so that we may know how to live. Some people don't like New Year because New Year means I'm another year older. Another year older. Some people look forward to New Year, some people don't. Children look forward to New Year because it's a holiday. You don't start schooling, but tomorrow you have to start studying. School start on the second, right? Not the first. Because first is always a holiday. So let's look at Psalms chapter 90. I just want to, let's just meditate on these four. There are four themes. How do we gain a heart of wisdom? What was Moses talking about in Psalm 90? What was he thinking when he journaled this chapter in Psalms? Let's read verse 1 to verse 3. If you have your Bible, let's look at verse 1 and verse 2 first. First two verses. Anybody else to read the first two verses? Psalms chapter 90, whatever version you have. 1, 2, go. Anyone?
Lord, how has been our dwelling place in all generations?
Verse 2.
Before the mountains were brought forth, forever thou hast from the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting thou art Lord.
Wow. Moses started this by saying, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever, you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting and ever to everlasting, you are God. What was Moses saying here? To gain a heart of wisdom, we must stand in awe of our eternal God. Very seldom do we think, but at the end of the year, you know, we can count years, right? 2018. But our God is from everlasting to everlasting. He's an eternal God. No beginning, no end. To gain a heart of wisdom, we must see there is no limit. He's the Alpha, He's the Omega, He's the eternal God. We must be awed by God's eternity, something that is so different. You know, you watch Transformers, they tell you Transformers have been around from every generation. I watched with my daughters and my wife yesterday. You know, they show Transformers, one of the episodes of Transformers, they say, you know, they show the history. Transformers were from, you know, during the Dark Ages, to show that they have been present throughout to help and save mankind. But God is not just that. God is from everlasting to everlasting. When you have that view of an eternal God, and you look at yourself, you look at your problems, you look at 2018, look at 2019, it is not even a dot. It changes our perspective. Moses, he wrote the first five books, the Pentateuch, by inspiration, and when he was caught up to heaven, he saw when the earth was created, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning and the verse 2, the gap between verse 1 and verse 2, he saw everything. He knew what it meant when he said, our God is an everlasting and eternal God. And Christians cannot miss out on this central theme. Our God is eternal. When we have this revelation of an eternal God in our hearts, it will change us. And it doesn't stop there. When you look at the eternity of God, then you will be scared, right? Oh, where do I fit in the eternity? Where am I in the eternity, in the big whole picture, where am I? Moses gave us a clue. God, you are our refuge. You are our dwelling place from generation to generation. He actually said that. Look at verse 1. You have been our refuge, right, in the original text, or our dwelling place in all generations. He has written the first five books. He saw the history of Israel. He saw the history of the people of Israel. And he said, how did they survive? It all happened because we made you our dwelling place. Even though you are eternal, you are of eternity, you are from a different realm, We are limited by time, but you are eternal. But how do we find our comfort in all that? When you becomes our refuge. When we know how to find our refuge in God. Amen. Every year we go through, when we look at the years, we look at the days, how do we have a heart of wisdom? When we stand in awe of God's eternity. And number two, we make God our refuge and dwelling place. Let's move on to verse 3. You turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of men. Verse 4, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past. And like a watch in the night, you carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. In the morning, they are like grass which grows up. In the morning, it flourishes and grows up. In the evening, it is cut down and withers. After Moses described the everlasting God, who does not have a beginning, who does not have an end, now Moses describes you and me. Morning, you flourish. Wow. Suddenly, my first daughter is 12 years old. My wife and myself, we kept saying, so big, so big. You know, we brought her to do my cut. I know most of you have gone way past that. You know, Albert is talking about grandson coming back from Korea, who is how old he, right? But it just happened in the twinkling of an eye, right? I once heard, you know, the former ambassador of Malaysia to Argentina, Dennis Ignatius. You know, he writes quite a lot before the election, Dennis Ignatius. He once said, I don't know how I suddenly become an old man. Which is true. Have you ever realized? Yeah, he was inside us. Maybe Brother Albert would tell us, inside him, he still feel like a boy who plays football or something, you know, when he was young. Right now, our sister Pat can be, in her heart, even though she's doing the cleaning business, maybe she's still thinking of the day she played Masak Masak. Okay. Right, do you play Masak Masak, you know? Oh, yes. She can still remember she played Masak Masak. I don't know how it happens. Morning flourishes, and then evening, what happened? It's cut down and it withers. You have an everlasting God, and you and I have to be reminded of the brevity of how short human and mankind life is. Today I'm telling you, my daughter is 12 years old. One day, you know, suddenly she is how old already? I can still remember last time when when my father was leading in a Baptist church. You know, they had a home fellowship, and I just stood up and say, my dad say, everyone will say, wow, your son very big already. I mean, it still stick to my mind. People will think you're a boy, and suddenly you're big already. And suddenly, so life is, this is not being philosophical, but Moses is sharing something that you and I, if we take note, you and I will have a heart of wisdom. Number one, God is eternal. After he say that, he say, hey, hello, you on earth, don't forget, you are just a man. So how does that help you? Number one, we should be humble by knowing that our life is so short. We must recognize without God, our life is insignificant. No matter what man will tell you, wow, what great achievement. Now we do artificial intelligence in every aspect of our lives, right? In banking, and in the financial service, I know artificial intelligence is a big thing. Now, fintech, finance, technology, everything is a big thing. Human things, they are progressing well. You know, next time, Sister Pat don't have a big business anymore. People use robots to clean the house. Oh, you can, then you don't call her Mama Bot. You don't call her Mama Bot.
Pack one, pack two,
pack three. Yes, 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 thank you. Huh? No more. You have to change your model. No matter how people think they are, how advanced they are, don't forget, they are just short. Yes. Amen. That tells us, if our life is so short, it matters very much whether we live in emptiness or not. If our life is so short, some people say, the world will tell you, so short, eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. This is the world's slogan, right? Your life is so short, they realized it long ago. So eat, drink, be merry. Yeah. heard of some smart people migrate. Brother Albert, have you thought of migrating?
No.
Some people have, some people have thought, migrate, huh? So short, leave the best, go somewhere. You know, don't stay here or enjoy your life to the fullest. Since your life is so short, you must ask yourself, is your heart empty? How do you fill your heart with meaning? Then you must know there is a purpose, there is a destiny in your life. You're not going to go there, but is your heart? Will we live our life in emptiness? Question number two. Will we live our life in regrets? Knowing that your life is so short, will you one day, when I become old man, will I turn back and say, I regretted my life? Will you live in regrets? When you see your life in perspective, you will ask these few questions. Will I live in regrets? Will I live my life meaningfully? Amen. Will I live my life meaningfully? Will I live my life without regrets? And this leads to another important thing. If I know in the context of eternity, my life is this short on this earth. Okay, don't discount the fact that you and I have eternity in our hearts, okay? Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 11. We've talked about that. We are eternal people. We are spirit, right? But in the context of us living on this world, since we know, Moses tells us our life is so short. Morning it flourishes, evening it withers and it's just gone. We must learn one important principle, which is learn to forget. Learn to forget the past. The good time to do that is the end of the year. Learn to forget the past. Your life is so short and you keep accumulating the baggage of the past. Then you will never step into the new. This is something I think I'm going to say on Fridays. If you cannot forget your past, cannot enter into the new. Now look at me. Now we all have handphone, right? The more sophisticated handphone, you have how many cameras? 3-4 cameras. Huawei has how many cameras and all that, right? Very high tech. So we take very clear photos. You have very big storage. So you have a lot of photos you take, right? Could I not? All your photos turn out nice? Beautiful? No? Not all, right? Yeah. Some are like, huh? Got smile. Got it. You are, while talking, you know, somebody take, you're eating something, people take your photo. Got it. Or your stance very ugly, you do something, then people snap your photo. Hello? It stays in the memory of your phone. Am I right? Hello? It also stays in your memory. In your life, in my life, in this short life that we have, many of these snapshots that we take of other people and of ourselves, all the ugly things we don't really enjoy, we are not proud of showing. You will choose the best one, then choose picture editor, enhance the image, right? Beautify the image before we send to someone, right? Hello? I'm the only one doing that? No, I don't do that. I don't do that, okay? I just use photo editor. Uh-huh. My daughter can use. Now suddenly, take a photo, edit it very nice, and then, where did you go? Like overseas, like that. But actually, it's somewhere in Port Dixon. Uh-huh. Same, right? You touch up. Beautify. Now so many functions, like, it's not very difficult, right? Just the best only, right? Yeah. But the ugly one, do we keep or not? Later we eat, sometimes eat. Joseph, maybe eat like that. Then I go and take care. Then I put in the chat group. Joseph not happy, right? How do you choose all the best photo, then you put nice. Correct or not? My friends, at the end of the year, the last day of the year, all these photos, it's time for us to delete them. Don't bring it to next year. Photos that we take of others and photos we take of ourselves. Definitely they are ugly photos. We don't get all those nice photos. Guarantee not. That's human. Knowing your life, my life is so short. You want to keep all that for what? Knowing your phone storage has a limited capacity. Delete all that. Amen. When you know this short life, we delete the past. we don't talk about it anymore. We don't bring it to, call it to remembrance anymore. We agree those are ugly, ugly photos, right? Of ourselves, of other people. But if we keep bringing on and our life is so short, what good is it for us? So we have to learn to forget the past when we realize the wisdom in knowing the brevity of mankind. Okay, let's continue. So that's the second theme. The first theme is God is our refuge, right? In all of his eternity and making God our refuge. Number two, when we are humbled by how short our life is, we recognize our insignificance. We want to live meaningfully without regrets, and we must learn to forget. Forgive and forget. Let's continue on. Verse 7 to verse 11. Can someone read one verse each from verses 7 to 11?
One, two, go. Verse 7.
We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation.
Okay, verse 8.
You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence.
Verse 9. Verse 9. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. Verse 10.
The days of our year are 80 years in heaven. And by reason of strength, they report 4 years. Yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow. But it is soon cut off and fly away.
Verse 11.
Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath.
So in these few verses, from verse 7 to verse 11, there is suddenly Moses raised another theme. Suddenly Moses speak of a facet of God's character that not many people talk about these days. What is that facet? Suddenly Moses shows us God can be angry. God has wrath. Right? God can judge. Now don't forget that. You want a beautiful year. You want a wonderful year. Don't forget. God is a judge. And God judged in his holiness. He judged because he is holy. His judgment is always true. Whoa, now no more amen. You can talk about, all the good things. But God is a holy God. If he is not holy, Jesus would not have to come and die a cruel death. But because he is holy, he's a judge, Moses say, don't forget. You can be in awe of God's eternity. You can be humbled by how short your life is. You must also acknowledge God is a holy judge, and you must be struck by his wrath. Struck as in awestruck by his wrath. You must not take it lightly. But let us be balanced here. God's judgment is always redemptive in nature. God does not judge to destroy something. He judges because he's redemptive. Okay? This will give us these two comfort. Number one, when we know that God's judgment is redemptive, number one, we will learn to fear him. If you do not recognize that God is holy, that God is a judge, he will judge sin. You and I will not learn to cultivate fear of God. We will do as we want. We will quote God's name. God say this, God say that. Last time I have a friend, we will always say, God say this, God say that, God say this. Yo, cannot. This is very dangerous. We must learn to honor and fear God. Of course, God does say. But sometimes God doesn't say. Sometimes it's you yourself say, don't say God say lah. God say, God say, God say, God say. It's very dangerous. It becomes failure to fear God. So when we learn to, when we know his judgment is redemptive, we learn to fear him. And number two, we are comforted that God judges. That means he is in control. Amen. He has the last say. He doesn't judge now, doesn't mean he doesn't know. He will not do anything. There is always the great white throne of judgment. Don't think that you will take things into your hands. Vengeance is mine. Sometimes we see something, we like cannot take it, like, why like that? Huh? If I can, I'll surely go and do something. I'm going to kill that person, or not kill, I'll do something. But always remember, don't take revenge. Vengeance is God. If you don't see the judgment being exercised here, it's because of the mercies of God. God will still do it one day at the white throne of judgment. Amen. Amen. He is on his holy throne. When we talk about God as our judge, he's sitting on the throne. Hallelujah. He is in control. That is how we enter into next year. Praise God. You are still on the throne. You are in control. You are a holy God. I learn to fear you. I learn to reverence you. I learn to worship you. Amen. Hallelujah. So this is verse 12. We'll skip verse 12 because that's the central theme of this chapter. That's what we have been saying from the introduction. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So how do we gain a heart of wisdom? How do we number our days? We see all these things that we have seen. And let's go to the last theme. You know, like I said, today is going to be very short. Because these are just reflections as we look through this year. Always be reminded of God's eternity. Always be reminded of how short our lives is. No matter how great your problem is, think about God's eternity. Think about how short your life is. Are you going to spend all your energy on this problem? Yes, if it is worth it. And you are to know how to learn to forget the past, how to approach God who is in control, who is on the throne. Hallelujah. And it is a good thing to end with this last theme, because the last theme is a positive theme. Verses 13 to verse 17. Verses 13 to 17. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. Verse 14. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the works of our hands. Hallelujah. What a positive theme that Moses ends the psalm with. Number one, it tells us as men, we need God's compassion. We need God's mercy. We depend on His compassion. We depend on His favor, on His mercy. That is the only way we can survive in our years on this earth. That's what he said in verse 13 and verse 14. How long? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us with your mercy. When we have His mercy, when we have His compassion, then we can rejoice and be glad. And wow, Moses actually prayed this interesting prayer. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. What does that mean? It's like, if we have suffered how many days, how many years? In tears, we are telling God, God, I suffered 3 years, you know, crying. Give us the equal amount of joy. How good our God is. You know, when you go through sadness, you're also like, why all my years is just tears, tears, tears. Then Moses teaches to pray, God, I have suffered 3 years. Also give me 3 years of joy. He's not a God who just wants to, He's not a God who's happy to see when we are sad. Moses is telling us, this is our God. We live depending on Him. And we live by praying to an answer. What? A God who answers our prayer. Amen. Why did Moses end here? He teaches us how to live. You live by asking God. You live by praying. He will answer you. Do you think Moses set out his prayer here for nothing? He said, God, Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which you have seen evil. I've seen evil for all my life, you know, all the days of my life. Then that's like Cherry saying, tomorrow onwards, everything is good. Right? Make us glad now. From tomorrow onwards, let me see joyful days. Let your work appear to your servants, your glory to your children. We are coming to a God who hears and answers our prayers, who loves us. And Moses also teaches us that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. It is also a time when we come to the end of the year, it is also a time like the songs that we sing, it's a time to be thankful to God. I'm so happy all of you have something to be thankful to God for. Because it is always a matter of perspective. All of us know, right? The cup can always be half full or half empty. But when you see from Moses' perspective, it is always half full. You can always take the position of, oh yeah, all my life is like that. But you can always say, praise God. I have all this hardship, but I can be rejoiced and I can be glad in all my days. Because God, you are good to me and you will deal with me with joy according to the days that I have been afflicted. Amen.
Amen.
We learn to count our blessings. You see, Moses actually taught us how do we pray. Establish the work of our hands for us. I love verses 16 to 17. Let your work appear to your servants. If we serve God, it is always God's work. Don't forget, it is not man's work. We can leave it to God because Moses said, let your work, why there is a capital Y, let God's work appear to God's servant and let your glory to their children. Let your glory appear to your children. This is a man who prayed, show me your glory. And he's telling everyone, this is not just for me. If every of his children learns to pray, we can also see the appearance of God's glory. And verse 17, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And God, may you establish the work of our hands. Amen. As we look forward to next year, on the last day of the year, what a beautiful prayer. God, let your glory appear in our lives. Let your beauty rest on us. When it is not our own beauty, it is your beauty resting on us. And all the work of our hands, our work, our business, we are praying, God, you establish the work of our hands. Hallelujah. Moses prayed twice. He knew all of us, we can be troubled, right? Or you what? How is it next year? Is it a good economy? Is it our leaders, our political leaders tell us it's a challenging year. Economy can be turbulent. Business and all kinds of things. Moses said, you can read all that, you can hear all that, but turn and switch your attention to this. God, in the midst of whatever storm, or whatever turbulence, you are the one who established the work of my hands. Irrespective of whatever the condition, when I acknowledge you are eternal, you are judge, you are in control, my life is so short on it. Lord, I come before you humbly asking, establish the work of your hands. Let me see your beauty resting on us. Why God will answer Moses' prayer? Do you want to know why? He has always the right motivation. Look at the first two things. His motivation is he wants God's beauty to rest on him. He wants God's glory to appear in the midst of children. He's not pursuing a selfish ambition. He's not pursuing his own desire or wants. He's saying, God, you can trust me. You establish the work of my hands. Because at the end of the day, I want to see your glory in our midst. People who have this motivation in their hearts, when you pray for God to establish the work of your hands, God will do it. What is this motivation? Lord, let people see your beauty in us. God, let your glory appear Don't let people see me. Don't let people see Moses. Don't let people know me. But God, let people, when they see me next year, they see your beauty. Even though I'm in the midst of trouble, they see your beauty. And when that happens, God will answer our prayer. God, you will establish the work of our hands. Whatever we do, God will establish it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So that is a beautiful reflection I thought that I wanted to share with all of you. The last day of the year is a good time to gain a heart of wisdom. Every year, we are 1 year older. May our revelation of God be deeper each year. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Pray that you are blessed. So that's it. We're just going to spend a few moments now. Remember the photos that I talk about, all the funny photos that you take of yourself and take of others. I just want to encourage all of us this time. You know, I asked Brother Joseph to play something. This time, you put all those photos in your hands and surrender it to God. And like the song that we sang just now, everything, right? I lay down everything. I offer them to you. It's a good time to ask God. What is the verse? What I just read to you the verse, okay? If you don't sing, it's okay, but let me look at the verse. Well, I don't have the full verse. Okay, let me read the verse for you. It says, all that I am, all that I have, I lay them down before you, Lord. All my regrets, all my acclaim, the joy and the pain, I'm making them yours. Then the second verse, it says, things in the past, things yet unseen, wishes and dreams that are yet to come true, all of my hopes, all of my plans, my heart and my hands are lifted up to you. Lord, I offer my life to you. Everything I've been through, use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you. Shall we rise and sing this again?
Before you, O Lord.
will have tribulation. But Jesus said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Jesus did not promise us a year without troubles, without challenges. Jesus did not promise us a trouble-free life. He promised to go through with us. He promised to never leave us, to never forsake us. He promised He will be the answer for everything that we face. He is the answer. Not the answer that we may seek, but He is the answer. So my brother, my sister, take this time. Surrender those things that you carry in your hearts, your regrets. Surrender those burdens that you have been carrying. Surrender those tears in your hearts. God knows them. But as we do that, as an act of offering, as an act of worship, it's different. We acknowledge that He is the Master. We acknowledge that He is in control. And we surrender ourselves to Him. We do not think that we are so significant, but we see ourselves as small before this great God. And say, God, I offer you all this. All the ugly photos I take of myself, all the ugly photos I take of others, I surrender them to you, Lord. I surrender them to you. Just do that right now in your own way. All the burdens you are carrying, don't carry it to next year. In this life, you may have trials, you may have tribulations, but every burden can be placed at the foot of Calvary. Everything you go through can be placed at the foot of Calvary, at the foot of the cross. You and I don't have to bear that burden. You and I don't have to carry those burdens. Don't have to carry those tears. We can trust in Him who is eternal. We can trust in Him who is holy. We can trust in Him who loves us, who is more than willing to pour out His compassion, who is more than willing to pour out His mercy upon us. So in your own way, as you surrender those things, you also ask of God, God, we ask for your fresh mercies, ask for your fresh compassion for next year. Lord, let your glory be in our lives, Lord. Let your glory appear in our lives, Lord. Let the beauty of God rest on each one of us. This is our prayer, Lord. Establish the work of our hands, Lord. Establish the work of our hands, Lord. Come on, my brother, my sister, take this time. And ask the Holy Spirit to come. As you put everything in your hands, as you surrender to Him, you're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and let it be a divine exchange, a divine transaction you're doing with God this evening. Put all that in your hands. All those ugly photos, all those unwanted photos, unnecessary photos, all those things put in your hands. You're making all those regrets, all those things. We're not going to carry this, all this to next year. We want to start the next year afresh with the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, we welcome you even now. In your own special way, begin to do a work in our hearts, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you have gathered each one of us here. Right now, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Come, Holy Spirit, inside us. Deep inside us, as you begin to bring forth images in our hearts. Every image that you bring forth, we surrender. Every image, everything that begins to appear in our mind, we put them in our hands and offer it to you. Shakarabaka sokoroboria, korobo shikarabaria, shakarabaria. Thank you, Lord. Korobo shikarabaria. Are you ready? Have you put everything in your hands? Let's put everything in your hands. And we're not going to carry it anymore. Once we have offered to God, once we have given it up to God, we are not going to carry it back. God knows them, but you put them in your hands, and we're going to offering to God. Thank you, Lord. your own way. Everyone, let's just this transaction. Lord, you see everything that has been placed in our hands, everything that has been surrendered to you. Lord, you see those things. Lord, you send your angels and you take them. You receive all these, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, burdens are lifted up from us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you. We acknowledge you, Lord. You are a God who loves us. We plead for your mercy, your compassion, your favor, Lord. May your face shine on each one of us. When your face shine on each one of us, your beauty and your glory is revealed in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Each one of us here, as we have surrendered our lives to you, establish the work of our hands in our families, in our workplace, in the ministry, in the church, wherever you have placed us, establish the work of our hands. Establish the work of our hands in Jesus' name. Establish the work of our hands. Establish the work of our hands. Thank you. Shekeralaba Soboro. Koroboko Shikarabaria. Thank you, Lord. And I'm so amazed, and I give you praise that you would save us at such a cost. I'm so amazed, and I give
the power of the Lord. Yeah. Praise God. Oh, La Maria, 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 la Ma